Welcome to the program, The EU and the World.
L'Europa e il mondo.
The podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair, EU to Luck.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The EU and the World, L'Europa e il mondo, the podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair, EU to Luck. It is my pleasure to welcome today a very special guest, Professor Rok Zupančič of the University of Ljubljana in Slovenia, who is a full professor at the Chair of Defense Studies in Slovenia. And his areas of expertise include peace building, conflict prevention, Southeast Europe, and especially the Balkans, and international security. All this with reference to what the EU does in these areas too. Rok, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we want really to make full use of your expertise on the Balkans and on a country that is not right on the radar, right on the spot anymore, but which has been a very important case for the United Nations and for the European Europe and for Europe in general. And that's Kosovo. And I think when people hear about Kosovo, at least some of them immediately think of terrorism, radicalization, crime, and so on and so forth. So from your expertise and research, how realistic is this fear and where does it come from? And could you also say a few words of the current situation of Kosovo, please? Mm-hmm.
All right. First of all, let me just add to your question one very important observation. And this is that not only the European Union and the United Nations discovered Kosovo, let's put it this way, but also Italy discovered Kosovo 2 or 3 years ago when your prime minister actually said that the Western Balkans should be the area where also Italy should focus itself on. In terms of general safety and security, Kosovo is becoming, let's say, a normal state. You know, it has a little bit of crime, a little bit of political instability and so on. But as you rightly mentioned, Kosovo also contributed quite some so-called jihadists who went to Syria and Iraq when there was this Islamic State. Approximately 400 jihadists went there. But nevertheless, I don't think that the danger of terrorism and radicalism is very strong. These people returned then. Some of them, you know, realized that this was a very bad idea to go to Syria and Iraq and fight for some ideals and so on. So in terms of general safety, you will not feel any kind of problems. But of course, there is a certain degree of political instability because there is inter-ethnic strife between Kosovo Albanians and Serbs, which has not been resolved yet. And this, you know, there are, let's say, sporadic outbursts of violence, nothing very big that I don't think that there could be a new war or something like that. But, you know, it's a fragile situation to which European Union, many European countries are trying to contribute, to resolve, and so on.
Perfect. And let's come to the European Union and have a closer look at what the EU does in Kosovo. Because after 1999, the EU was one of the primary actors in the reconstruction process in Kosovo. So how has the EU dealt with reconstruction in Kosovo? How much has it contributed? Would you assess the EU contribution as a positive contribution? And has this led to an improvement of the situation and living standards in the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kosovo in 1999, when war between Serbia and Kosovo Albanians ended with NATO intervention, so this ended in June 1999, Kosovo was, of course, demolished country. Many people were killed. A lot of people left Kosovo for Macedonia and other countries and so on. And the European Union actually set the stabilization and economic reconstruction of Kosovo as one of primary tasks. Other international organizations were tasked with other things. NATO, for example, with security, United Nations with administration, political resettlement, and so on. But EU actually came to Kosovo for economic reconstruction. And it did actually invested a lot of money. And when I say it did, the European Union, you know, it's European money. It's taxpayers' money, right? So also our money. So we actually helped Kosovo to a certain degree. There is actually this investment has been recognized by Kosovo people. Other than that, living standards in Kosovo are, if we compare the situation, so the economic situation with the situation in Italy, for example, I did some calculations. So GDP per capita is 5 to 6 times smaller compared to Italy. So around $6,000-$7,000 per capita. In terms of net salaries are around, average net salary is around 500 euros, something like that. But living costs are not 3 or 4 times lower. It's quite difficult, let's say, for an average citizen to live with this salary. But nevertheless, European Union is by most people regarded in positive terms. But of course, people are reading newspapers and following media and so on. So, you know, there is also a certain degree of resentment towards the European Union, which is nothing unusual. If you just look at the European states, we also have a lot of resentment towards the so-called Brussels and so on.
Absolutely. Recent surveys actually show that there is some ambivalence towards the European Union in many regions in the world. There is some admiration in certain respects, but there is also some criticism. In fact, I would like to ask you a little bit more about that. So from your research, how do people in Kosovo actually see the EU today? In spite of all this reconstruction effort and after so many years of EU presence in the country, do the Kosovo people see the European Union more as a kind of hope and aspiration, or rather a disappointment? So what's the story in Kosovo?
Generally speaking, actually the data shows that the European Union is still strongly admired by a majority of population in Kosovo. About 90% of people would immediately vote for Kosovo to join the EU. So, you know, there is like opposition is only, let's say, 10% or something like that. So generally speaking, they consider the EU as a symbol of hope more than a symbol of disappointment. So Kosovo, the most pro-European public in the Balkans, for sure. It should not come as a surprise. I mentioned earlier the economic situation, which is not very good. People in Kosovo regard the EU still as a symbol of optimism, economic progress, also liberty, development, and so on. Also, social security. This is a very, very important thing. So social security, European Union is regarded as a social security symbol, for sure. But of course, there is a certain degree of disappointment as well, especially due to the fact that the European Union actually is delaying all the time, actually, the date when Kosovo could join the European Union. So I think it's perfectly normal that, you know, people would like to see some dates when we are finally ready to join. So this is it. And one maybe very important thing that I also have to mention, European Union actually launched a very big, the biggest mission in its history. It's called EULEX, European Union Rule of Law Mission. And when they came, this mission, when they came to Kosovo, they said that they will come for big fish. So they will actually catch the criminals, they will eradicate, get rid of crime, corruption, and so on. But the results are not there. So, there is European Union, in my opinion, is an ambiguous symbol, and it will remain an ambiguous symbol for quite some time in the future.
Yeah, this is a quite common situation in many regions of the world. Once again, the EU probably does not live up to expectations. It tends to promise perhaps a little too much, generating too high expectations. Thank you very much, Roque Zupančić, for this very interesting set of considerations on Kosovo, and thank you for joining the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
And the appointment with everybody who wants to stay tuned with us is for our next episodes of the EU and the World, l'Europa e il Mondo podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair EU2Lab. Thank you and goodbye.